stand by. Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Automating Your Business Processes to Streamline Operations. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, you'll learn how to manage your systems and business processes by streamlining them and developing automation routines using business process management techniques. The speaker for today's teleconference is David McCorkle, Systems and Technology Platform Sales Specialist. At this time, I'd like to turn things over to David. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay, thank you. What the purpose of this call is to see how we can model, optimize, and streamline our business processes one at a time. And BPM, or business process management, is a discipline which is kind of the focus of this call, and the focus of BPM is on the business, not so much IT, although BPM leads to IT things like SOA and IT-oriented technologies, and we'll see how those two come together later on. Going to the next slide. We're going to investigate in this presentation what BPM is all about. We're going to look at some of the tools that are part of the IBM BPM suite. And then finally, we're going to explore the role of BPM and System Z as the runtime for our business processes. But usually the first thing customers want to know is, how do I get started? So getting started involves first identifying processes that need improvement. And how we do that is typically we look at processes that may lead to or underlie strategic business requirements or objectives that have been laid out by our company. And looking for processes that by improving them will show a payback to the business or some return on investment that's going to lead to meeting the underlying strategic business initiatives. So a good way to get started is to look at, what do we need to do? Maybe we need to increase sales by 30%. So what are the processes that underlie our sales and which ones need improvement? Maybe an example process would be setting up new customer accounts. And maybe that's time consuming, takes too long, customers get frustrated, go to other customers. And so we can increase sales by improving that underlying process. Going to the next slide. Some of the goals of BPM, along with service-oriented architecture, which is kind of the IT view of business process management, is to accommodate change. Changes are difficult, and we can use BPM to make changes easier to deal with and to respond to the needs of the business. So reacting to the needs of the business in a timely fashion is another key driver for business process management. Respond to new business opportunities, again, quickly in an agile manner to, you know, beat the competition. And finally, you know, the alignment of business and IT has been a long objective that we've been going after for a long time to try and align business processes with IT processes so that we can bring them more into sync. So those are some of the goals of BPM. Going to the next slide, there's four areas where BPM can be important. One is regulatory compliance. Another, business partner integration, integration across business units or even outside the enterprise. Business model agility and IT adaptability is another area, and the incorporation of humans into business processes. So those are four key areas. We'll look at those in a little more detail. So going to the next slide, regulatory compliance is typically meeting government regulations or industry regulations and may involve automating processes to be more consistent. Within the processes, we can also do logging for audit trails and to ensure that we're compliant and doing things in a consistent fashion, as well as reporting and monitoring. So all of these areas help us meet requirements for regulatory compliance. Going to the next slide, business partner integration is another area that can be addressed through BPM. And this is extending the reach of our business processes beyond a single business unit or even beyond the enterprise itself. And what this can involve is using external interfaces, maybe dealing with industry protocols and data formats, and to transmit data between different entities. And sometimes we use web services, which is an IT technology that allows us to be able to link disparate types of programs, languages, and platforms to incorporate these into business processes. So a lot of times web services, which is kind of an underlying technology of SOA, can help us with the integration across different entities. Going to the next slide, business agility and flexibility. And this is probably one of the key drivers for BPM, and that is to make IT more responsive to the business. It's always been a complaint of business units that IT is slow to respond, and it takes us too long to respond, and by the time we are able to meet their requirements, maybe an opportunity has been lost. So business agility and flexibility gives direct value to the business by being able to improve our ability to change, to reuse assets, to ease maintenance, and to improve our problem determination for better service to the business. So all of these things are achievable using BPM. Finally, human task management, or the incorporation of human beings as part of an automated business process, is a very important capability of a BPM runtime. And so this allows us to improve the efficiency of our people through the assignment of work, through timing work and making sure that if work isn't being accomplished that it's escalated, or we notice that the work isn't being done and that we can do that automatically, and for the reduction of cost so we can use people more efficiently. And people are very expensive, much more expensive than computers. And so by automating human task management and being able to assign work in an organized, automated fashion can really help with cost reductions. I'm going to the next slide. So this slide shows how three different companies have used BPM and the implementation of business processes to meet various business requirements. The first company on this slide was able to reduce the problem determination time from 2 days to less than 1 hour. And thereby, when a problem would arise, China Mobile would be able to go out and respond and correct things and provide better service to their customers. Pay by Touch was able to reduce cost and improve productivity using process automation. And finally, ACI Global was able to improve their time to market and their customer service. So these are examples of customers who have already achieved the promise of BPM and its value to the business. Going to the next slide, Crowley Maritime deployed their BPM solution using service-oriented architecture and enterprise service bus running on System Z. Some of the products that they deployed on System Z include the Process Server Runtime, WebSphere Message Broker for the ESV, and WebSphere MQ, all deployed on a IBM System Z processor. The benefits that they got, the measurable business value that they saw, was delivery time and costs were reduced by half, and they saved money on every integration interface that they had to support. As well, errors and omissions were reduced. So they saw lots of benefit that delivered financial return to the business. Going to the next slide, IBM conducted a global CEO study in May of 2008, and 87% of respondents said fundamental changes would be required in their organization. They also said that they're going to require innovation to meet the needs of their business, and they can't keep doing everything the same old way. So these are things that embracing the requirement for change, for agility, to be able to respond quickly and flexibly to the business are key drivers of BPM and why it's important to us. Going to the next slide, the people that know their processes are actually in the business units or the line of business people. They know their processes and they know what needs to be improved. A lot of times processes will go across application silos, across departments, and across business units. So there's a need to be able to integrate applications as well as to be able to govern the integration of these applications across organizational units. So there's a lot of political issues that are associated with BPM and being able to do this because processes typically extend beyond a single business unit. Going to the next slide, we see at the top the business objectives like innovation, top-line growth, operational excellence, reducing cost, or gaining market share, business-oriented goals. And these goals can be met by doing process improvement and process automation. But defining the process as it is today and defining the process as we like it to be is one step. But then we have to actually implement those improvements or changes. And that's where BPM meets SOA, or business process management meets service-oriented architecture. While BPM is around the business goals and objectives, SOA is more about IT resources. And these two come together to allow us to implement our processes and deploy them in a runtime environment. So it's very important that BPM and SOA are in line with one another. Going to the next slide, here we see a chart that's been used a lot to show what integration can look like across different applications and components within a typical IT organization. What's depicted here is a problem that I refer to as point-to-point integration. And the problem here is that as everything connects to everything else, we end up with kind of a mess. And when you have integration that looks like this, it's very difficult to go in and make a change and know how that change is going to affect other elements within this integrated mess, you might call it. So the other problem is that typically when we do point-to-point integration, both process and integration logic gets embedded in the business logic itself or in the application. And what we'd like to do is to be able to extract process and integration logic and place it somewhere outside the business logic so that we can increase the reusability of our business assets and make it easier to make changes and modifications. Studies have indicated that sometimes 70 to 75% of the IT budget is spent just on maintenance. And so by finding a way to improve this picture and make it more simplified and more easy to change is a way that we can deliver real value and we can support the requirements of these automated business processes. Going to the next slide. So how do we actually do this? There's really four easy steps that we can follow in going down this path. The first one involves identifying and documenting the current state of that process that needs to be improved. So we need to identify a process that needs to be improved and document what that process looks like in its current form. Once we've done that, we can design a desired future state view of that process. So how would we change, improve, automate, or eliminate bottlenecks in that process to make it more efficient and to meet the demands of the business? The third step then, after we've designed the future state of our process, is to go out and identify the process components that already exist today. So we might have components and applications that exist today that we want to include as part of our process. We might have components that are human components that we want to include in our process, where there's a requirement for human interaction within the process itself. And then we may have to actually build some components that we don't have. Maybe there's a email component or something like that. So we either harvest or build these components or services, as we call them in SOA, from existing applications or create them as new. So what SOA or service-oriented architecture allows us to do that's important to BPM is to separate the endpoints of our process logic and integration logic from the business logic and render these services as callable from a number of different sources. And that delivers real value in the simplification and flexibility of our business processes. Going to the next slide, this depicts some of the SOA entry points. Some of the ones that we see a lot of are connectivity. So this is just integrating applications in a fashion where we don't have to use point-to-point connections. We also have SOA entry point for reuse, information, people, but the one that's most applicable to the discussion of business process management is the process entry point. And the process entry point is the most business-driven entry point to SOA of any of the entry points on this chart. So that's a very typical and a great way to go to SOA is starting with business process management. Going to the next slide, there's five core BPM components. and they're depicted on this slide. But the major ones that we're interested in is the ability to model our processes. First, to model our current state process, and to model our future state process, our process the way it is today and our process the way we would like it to be. And then to be able to do some simulations to simulate how is this new process going to improve over what we had when we began. And so simulation can be very important to help us also identify additional areas that we want to improve that maybe we didn't get on the first pass. Once we have modeled and simulated our processes and we have a good understanding of our desired future state and the technology-enabled state that we want to get to, then the next thing is to actually take that business process and automate it and into a deployable form that can be deployed into an actual IT runtime environment. So automate is the next step. And then once we automate that process and it's actually running and doing what it's supposed to do, we'd like to monitor it and to be able to capture metrics and information about the business results that we achieve from that process and look for areas where we can further improve the process. In addition to these three important areas of model, automate, and monitor, we have the incorporation of rules-based processing and content-based processing that can also be components of the BPM requirement. Going to the next slide. This slide shows some common business problems that can be solved using business process management. So as you look over this slide, you'll probably see things that are common to many of your processes as well, like the duplication of data entry or, you know, using manual processes that may be sequential and paper-based, significant human interaction, which may not be really efficient and could involve the use of phones, faxes, emails, and just unconnected events that kind of occur and processes that are kind of handled in a, well, this is the way we've always done it kind of fashion. So these are some of the common business problems that we've identified in different engagements. Going to the next slide, we have common IT problems that have been identified. So these are information technology problems dealing with the requirements for integration, application modernization, maintenance, and for crossing application silos, where we maybe have different silos of applications that are billed to different users based on their departments, and integrating across these application silos can be a significant IT challenge. Going to the next chart, these are some of the solutions for either IT or business. And you can look at these on your own. I won't go through these one by one, but instead we'll look at an example of a customer that had some business problems and some IT problems and how they were able to address it using BPM and SOA. We'll see that a little bit later. Going to the next chart, business process management is a discipline or methodology. It involves the use of our knowledge and expertise of our processes and our assets that underlie those processes, whether they be programs, whether they be people, like one customer had told me recently where they print things out and tear them apart and give them out to the different drivers to handle. So all of these are expertise or assets that make up our existing processes. And then also BPM is inclusive of software that's used for modeling processes, for deploying those processes and providing a runtime for those processes, for building interfaces, rules engines, handling workflow. So all of those requirements are handled through software. So the benefit of BPM is realized through the application of both knowledge and technology or software. Going to the next chart. We've already discussed how business process management is enabled by SOA. There's really three phases of the BPM lifecycle. And the first one, as we've talked before, is to design, model, and simulate our processes. Then to be able to take those processes that we've defined that are our new improved versions and automate and deploy those processes. And then finally to monitor the deployed processes and be able to provide feedback to further improvements, which allow us to kind of continue this life cycle and go back into monitoring, designing and modeling based on our monitoring output, which is going to help us further improve our various processes. So all of this is done built on software technology, and IBM has its BPM suite of products that allow us to do that. Going to the next chart, probably one of the hardest things to do is to identify the processes that need improvement and to be able to ensure that there's significant business value in improving those processes. We found that, again, ways to do this is by examining the current strategic business requirements of the organization and looking at the processes that directly support areas of those strategic business needs. And then we would go out and document the current state of the process, design the technology-enabled desired future state, and then look to harvest the process components or build the new components that are going to be part of that process. Okay, going to the next chart, this is an example of a customer that had two problems that they wanted to address. The first problem was, this is a university, Ball State University in Muncie, Indiana. Probably their most famous alumni is David Letterman. Ball State came to IBM with a problem where they had inconsistency of student addresses across multiple applications. If you think about it, almost every application within a university environment has a need to maintain some kind of an address for a student. And students can have many multiple different addresses, like a home address, local address at the university, maybe an apartment or something like that, parent addresses, and so forth. So there's literally half a dozen or more different types of addresses. And then these addresses are stored in as many as 40 different applications within the university. So as an address would be changed in one system, it was very easy for it not to get changed in another system, and thereby there would be an inconsistency where the school might be able to send the student a request for a donation from Alumni Affairs, but on the other hand, the business office couldn't send them a bill so that their transcripts could be released. So this caused a huge problem for the university. And how they were able to address this was by building an enterprise service bus and enabling a publish-subscribe solution that could notify all the applications that subscribe an interest to the address change topic so that those applications would be notified whenever an address change occurred, and they could then go out and update their systems, their information in their specific applications so that the addresses could be maintained consistently across all of these disparate applications. That was one requirement, and it really involved the connectivity entry point to SOA. They had another problem, though. The other problem that Ball State University was facing was they had a high number of failed enrollments when students would try to enroll in classes. And every time an enrollment failed, it would take human interaction to go out and figure out why the enrollment failed and how the student could get enrolled. And there were, again, a number of reasons why a class enrollment failed. But we were able to determine that there were three main reasons that accounted for a large percentage of the failed student enrollments. And so we decided to focus on those three areas. In this case, the solution that was employed was to improve the enrollment process and automate the enrollment process that was very manual in nature to reduce the number of enrollments and provide better service to their students at a reduced cost to the university. And going to the next slide, the three major reasons that enrollments would fail were determined to be holds, and this is a case where maybe the student had an accounts receivable that hadn't been paid, a bill that hadn't been paid, maybe there was a library book that had never been returned, or maybe a traffic ticket that they hadn't paid, things like that would put a hold on the student, which would keep them from enrolling. Another reason that enrollments might fail in a particular class would be because of a permission required, where maybe that class requires a permission from the academic department to be able to enroll in the class, and so if they didn't have that permission already granted, then the enrollment would fail due to lacking the permission. And finally, wait list is a situation where a class would actually be full. And so if a class was full, obviously the student couldn't enroll and their enrollment would fail. And then, you know, they would maybe be put on a wait list. And then at some later date, if an additional class was added, then the student could go on and enroll at that time. Those three reasons for a failed enrollment account for about 80% of the enrollment failures. So we decided to focus on those first. Going to the next chart. What we did then was basically looked at the objectives of the improvement of the BPM project. What we were doing was modeling for automation and implementation as well as doing some design and redesign of their enrollment. But basically, we wanted to take what they had and automate what we could, eliminate steps that were possible to eliminate, and try to improve the process to reduce the number of failed enrollments. Going to the next slide. So this is a depiction of their actual processes, the current state of their process, and looking at the holds, permissions, and wait list portion of their failed student enrollment process. And we defined areas that were ripe for automation, and we defined some areas that we could actually eliminate, that we wanted to work to eliminate those steps as we build the future state. But a good understanding of the current state of the business process is necessary before designing the improved future state. Going to the next chart, here we show some of the ways that we were able to improve the process. Once we had built the future state process and depicted it through the use of the modeling tool, then the next thing was to go out and figure out, okay, how are we going to implement the different components of this process? And we were able to go out and automate several components. We were able to harvest directly from their existing applications. So in our case, we used HATS, which is the Host Access Transformation System, to take 3270 CICS programs and expose those as web services that we could include in our processes. So we harvested program components. We built some human tasks that we would automatically build work lists and put work on these work lists for human beings to deal with. And then we did some notifications, like some email components, and included a business rule. The business rule turned out to be one of the most useful things because the business rule allowed us to say, if the amount the student owes is less than, you know, is a trivial amount, let's not hold up the enrollment because of that. Let's go on and let the student enroll even though they have a hold for a trivial amount. And that itself eliminated a large number of failed student enrollments just by the incorporation of a business rule in the process. And the business unit could go out and change that number to say what is considered to be trivial dynamically using business interface to do that. So business rules can be very helpful. Okay, going to the next chart. Some observations from the project at Ball State University is to keep the focus on the business issues, then don't focus on the technology issues or the IT issues. You know, find the person in the business that knows the process. They know the process as it is, and they know where it needs to be improved. And once you find that person, a lot of the work is pretty much done because they say, well, if we could do this and this, and, you know, they basically start telling you exactly what you need to do to go from the current state to the future state of that process. We found a really fast payoff. The customer mentioned that from the modeling all the way to testing a future state process was about 5 weeks and probably would have taken 12 to 18 months using typical programming methods. And so by using business process management and the IBM BPM suite, they were able to do in 5 weeks what could have taken them 12 months. The business value obviously reduced the time to enroll in the courses. They reduced the number of people that had to handle these things so they could take those people that were involved in the registrar's office and just handling failed student enrollments and put them on other more productive projects. And also, they were able to provide much better service to their students. And then one of the things that they were most excited about was the entire process was self-documenting with about a 300-page PDF document that came out of this process documenting their new system that they were deploying. So going to the next chart. So some of the things that Ball State found very useful and are really benefits of a BPM solution is the ability to incorporate human workflow in the process itself, where human tasks can be treated as services and exposed in an IT fashion through SOA, which is kind of the IT realization of BPM. So using human workflow, we have the ability to do task assignments, build work lists, put work out across different people that are in a department that are responsible for handling these task assignments. And then if the task assignments aren't completed within a certain time or if there's a priority associated with them, we can do automatic escalations to say, oh, well, this work item has been out there for a long time. Nobody's taken care of it, so we need to escalate that and make sure it's happened. Within the human workflow support, the ability to do these multi-level escalations. Going to the next chart, again, human task, as we depict these services, we need to build an interface for these services. And embedded in the IBM WebSphere Business Modeler tool is support for Lotus Forms, which allows us to build the human interface to the human task that we are exposing as a service. So that can be very helpful in building these forms that provide the interface to the human being who is acting as the service implementation itself. Going to the next chart, there's also functionality which allows us to define a business calendar. And the business calendar allows us, as we're dealing with human tasks or even process components, to consider things like weekends, holidays, vacation, time off, and those kinds of things. So this calendaring support can provide additional benefits where we can introduce a time component to these human task or process components. I'm going to the next chart. Business rules, again, we've already seen an example at Ball State University where we were able to include a business rule as a process component to support automation, and then also the ability to go out and change these without having to make changes to the process itself and to be able to allow the business unit to make these changes versus having to have IT make these changes. Going to the next chart, simulations using the WebSphere Business Modeler tool can be very helpful in helping us to understand the value of going from our existing process to the future state process that we've defined. And this is important in building a business case or a return on investment calculation, ROI calculation, to justify the effort required and the investment in products and work, software, these kinds of things to actually go out and implement the solution. So simulations help us not only identify additional areas for improvement or things we may not have thought of, but will also help us in building that understanding of what is the value of going from what we have today to what we want to go to, and how is that going to relate back to the business and provide the business justification to move ahead with the project. Going to the next chart, we have a tool called WebSphere Integration Developer. And WebSphere Integration Developer is a simple tool to use to define, take your processes, build an IT version of that process, and be able to include in it the different components that are required in that process, whether they be human components, program components, maybe interfaces through adapters to enterprise application components and Java components, various things like that. So WID, or WebSphere Integration Developer, is the tool that takes our business process that we've defined, our future state business process, and translate it into a deployable IT process, and then we can wire in these various components that make up that process at that time, and many times harvest those from our existing applications themselves. So it's tooling. We can actually take the output of the WebSphere Business Modeler and transfer that output into WebSphere Integration Developer, maybe make a few changes based on technological requirements, and then be in a position to use WebSphere Integration Developer to actually deploy the IT process into the runtime engine, which is the WebSphere process server. What is key here is now that we have an IT process that was built directly from the business process, and so now here we've achieved this alignment of the business process to the actual deployed IT process. So WID's really a wonderful tool to use, and it's very visual and Eclipse-based and allows us to easily take what we've modeled and prepare it to deploy it. Going to the next slide, the deployment goes into the WebSphere process server. And the WebSphere process server is really the runtime. The WebSphere process server can be deployed on a number of platforms, really any platform where WebSphere application server can be deployed, because WebSphere process server is a J2EE application that runs in WebSphere application server. Some of the things the process server does for us is it's a BPEL engine, business process execution language engine, for actually running the BPEL, which is the IT definitions of our process. It's built on something called service component architecture, which is an industry specification. And it gives us all the ability to do things that we've discussed, like business rules and human task and program components and all sorts of various components that we can plug into our process. Going to the next slide, WebSphere process server, or the runtime for our processes, is built on top of WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus and WebSphere Application Server Network deployment. So the runtime for both WebSphere process server and WebSphere ESB is the WebSphere Application Server Network deployment, which has been around for a long time and has gone through numerous improvements, so that we didn't build a whole new runtime for the process server. We used proven technology that's mature and highly efficient to deploy these applications as just really J2EE applications running within WebSphere Application Server. Going to the next chart, one capability that WebSphere Process Server allows that can be very useful is the ability to provide ad hoc support for adding subtasks or follow-on tasks on the fly in the process server or the runtime engine itself. So we don't have to go out and create a whole new process to add some subtask or follow-on task. We can do that on the fly in the process server itself if we find out that there was something that we wanted to add. Going to the next slide. We've seen business process management and how we go from business process management, which is the discipline of understanding our business processes, to how we actually convert that into something that we can run on our technology, on our platforms in the IT area. So one of the questions is, why or when should I use System Z for doing this process serving? When should I consider putting the process server on System Z itself? And if you think about it, as we deal with these business processes that underlie the fundamental requirements of our business, then we're going to need the kinds of things that System Z is known for and has historically provided to applications, which is its value statement that it has delivered for decades. And these are things like reliability, workload management, security, performance, the ability to integrate. So these are all areas where System Z has had a long heritage of providing these kinds of requirements. And so business processes need these kinds of qualities of service as much or more than our applications that we've historically had. So System Z is really a great place to look at deploying these processes. The other thing to look at is, what are the components that we're going to use as part of our process? And if those components reside on System Z, then obviously it would make sense to have that process engine, or if the majority of those components are going to reside on System Z, like integration with our legacy applications, maybe applications running in CICS and things like that, then it's going to make sense to run our process engine there and having a local reference. Also, since the process server and the WebSphere ESB themselves are Java applications, then the work for these applications can be offloaded onto specialty engines, which provide low cost of operation of these components on System Z. So we can get a real cost savings by using these Java applications and the use of specialty engines. going to the next chart, the monitor allows us to have the ability to look at dashboards and to gather real-time information that tells us about how are these business processes being executed and what are the business metrics that are being met through the execution of these processes. Going to the next chart. So for monitoring, we have the WebSphere Business Monitor, and it provides a lot of monitoring capability, but it also provides the ability to take what's been monitored in the process and use that to go on and build yet another improved version of our improved process for further improvement. So if you go to the next slide, you'll see that we have a continuous feedback loop here where we took our process, we improved it, we deployed it, we monitored it, and then based on that monitoring, we were able to go out and make further improvements to continue to improve the execution of that process. Going to the next slide, again, I think we've kind of hit on this already in the previous slide, which is the value of System Z for SOA, service-oriented architecture, and business process management. And, you know, while it's the qualities of service that are important, getting back to Z as the engine for process services, I think one of the things that's huge is the proximity of the process to the components that make up that process. Another thing that System Z is able to do is to provide improved integrity through transactional semantics for our processes so that we can build processes that are transactional in nature. The security, of course, is important, and availability is key. But one of the things that's many times overlooked is the cost advantage of deploying on System Z by reducing the amount of human effort required to manage, you know, farms of servers and to offload the work from the process server onto our specialty engines. And then why do customers want to deal with IBM in the area of BPM? Well, I think the number one reason is that IBM is number one in BPMS market share. And we have really a depth of BPM experience, and we have a breadth of software in our BPM suite that goes across the requirements from modeling to deploy and to then monitor the results. So IBM provides the total solution and is seen as the leader in the area of business process management. So I guess 6,000 customers can't be wrong as far as what they're doing with BPM, and I hope that this presentation has given you some thoughts and ideas. But finally, going to the next chart is how can we get started with BPM? And the way I would recommend is something that, again, we used at Ball State University, which was a business process improvement workshop. And this is a no-charge workshop that IBM will come in, sit down with you, examine a process that you've selected that needs improvement, that will deliver, you know, by improving it, will deliver significant value to your business, will help you model the existing process and then build a model of a improved technology-enabled future state process, and then help you evaluate the business value in dollars that's required to understand the business case and the return on investment calculation to actually fund a project to move forward and do this. And so if you're interested, you know, you contact your IBM software representative and tell them you'd like more information about doing a business process improvement workshop. And this is, again, at no charge for customers that have identified and qualified requirements. So this is how Ball State started, and they went from the PIW to actually having the improved process tested and functioning with all of its components within 5 weeks. I can't promise everyone will have that short time period, but I think it would always be typical that these projects will be done much quicker than what you could ever imagine. And so with that, I'd like to thank you for joining the call today, and I'll hand it back over to the operator.
Thank you, David. Now we'd like to ask that you participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we'll have a live Q&A session. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. For our first question, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2, or if it was low, press star 3. Question 2. Was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference at the right level, press star 1. Not technical enough, press star 2. Or if it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Question 3. Did this teleconference help you to understand the benefits of business process automation, and is it something that you'd be interested in learning more about? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And our final question today, we hope you'd enjoyed the teleconference. Please let us know if you're interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. Thank you all for your responses. At this time, we'd like to take your questions. If you do have a question for us today, please press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone at this time. Once again, for any questions, please press star 1. We'll pause for just a moment. And once again, that is star 1 for questions or comments at this time. And Mr. McCorkle, there appear to be no questions. I'll turn the conference back to you for closing remarks.
Well, again, I'd like to thank everyone for joining, and I hope that you'll consider the option of contacting your WebSphere sales specialist to see about more information on a no-charge process improvement workshop to help you explore the benefits and value of moving forward with business process management. So that's all I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That does conclude today's IBM teleconference. Have a pleasant day.